Well, how much faith do you have left in the Timberwolves? Down 0-2, and they're down in Dallas today. I think we have some differing opinions on this, gentlemen. By the way, good morning. The Timberwolves lost Game 2 Friday night in what was, frankly, a gut punch. There's no doubt about it. And we can break this down from all angles, not the least of which is they had a huge lead at one point. Cat and Anthony Edwards were ice cold for the most part in that game. But it all comes down to what I think was, and Chris Finch, I had said the entire time, I thought was a really good candidate. It was a finalist for Coach of the Year. But this has been analyzed ad nauseum, and I know this, and I'm more than happy to take your calls on the stylesfinancial.com talk at text line 651-461-9226. Have you given up hope on the Timberwolves? I don't like how I feel, but I don't. And part of this is because of what Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are doing. But why in the world, on the final shot with Luka Doncic, do you put Rudy Gobert back in, single cover this guy, and he drains the three to win the game? This is not on Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, yeah, four-time defensive player of the year. Where's his spot? Everybody knows it's in the paint. That's where he shines. He is not supposed to guard a guy at the top of the, you know, at top of the three-point line. It's setting him up to fail, and I think Chris Finch did that. I'm sure he owns it, and it was not the right decision. If you want to have him out there, that's fine. But in covering one-on-one, bring a guy over and double Luka and dare someone else to beat you. Please, don't let Luka have that. It's a terrible ending to a game that, I mean, at halftime, I'm like, this is over. It's done. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, I totally agree with you, because when you think about it, that's not what Rudy is good at, right? I mean, that's not his forte. His forte is somewhere within the paint, somewhere underneath the bucket, and that's where he survives and does a phenomenal job. He doesn't just survive. He's the best in the league, but he's not the guy who should be out there at the three-point line, and we knew who was going to take the shot. So
yes,
if you're not going to double him, which they should have, but if you're not going to double him, I don't think it's fair to put Rudy on it. I mean, he's not that type of a defender. I mean, his abilities are actually much better if he's somewhere within the field goal area, not the three-point area. But the reality really was Ant and Cat. I can't believe we were even in this game. I mean, when those two guys, the way they were shooting, it was really scary. And the one guy who stepped up, Who stepped up the very most in that game? Nas Reed, right?
Nas Reed. I mean, couldn't miss a three.
The guy
until
was
until the end.
but you know, the guy was what, 7 of 9 for three pointers. He has 23 points. This is the sixth man award guy. I mean, he really has upped his game. But unfortunately, you know, we've lost two games by a grand total of 4 points. So it gives us, I think, at least some sort of hope. So I have a lot more hope than you do, and maybe that's foolish of me to be as hopeful as I am, but I just can't imagine that Ant and Cat can play that bad in a third game. I can't imagine it.
And this idea, the other thing I'd like to address is this idea that the referees, you know, can I say screwed on the radio? I hope I can. Screwed them out of the game, right? The call at the end where, and I believe it was Kyrie Irving, who clearly fouls, and they say they can't review it, and then after the game they say, yep, it was actually a foul. Now, they didn't do anything on that possession, so I don't know that it's that changes things. But here's what it comes down to. The Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, it's their biggest stars. These are their stars. These are the guys, the horses they have got to ride to get a victory. Luka and Kyrie Irving are that for the Mavericks. Luka and Kyrie have outscored Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards 115-71 in the first two games. Karl-Anthony Towns was basically benched the other night. And part of it was because he got into early foul trouble. Part of it is because it's fine because you got Naz Reid. And maybe if Naz isn't as hot as he is in that game, Karl-Anthony Towns comes back in. But Naz Reid is not the reason that, that the game was lost. Naz Reid was probably the reason that they were in it at all.
Yeah.
But what bothers me, and I really truly am starting to think this, and for all the people that said it, it's Charles Barkley who said this in the postgame on TNT. He said, he pointed out, he said, Anthony Edwards looks exhausted. And you know, I was watching some of the video that they showed, and you know what? I actually tend to agree with him. And I hate to say that, but Anthony Edwards, who has been sensational the entire year, who has always been against load management, and we love that about him. Mm-hmm. But he's a kid, and I agree, Pete, he looks tired out there right now.
He does, and I think sometimes that has to do with, okay, there are times where maybe we could take him off, right? I'm not saying that, you know, you and I agree on the whole load management thing. We don't like it. There's nothing about it that we like. That doesn't mean that he has to play every minute of the game. And when you look at the minutes that these guys put in, it really is pretty amazing. And I think to reflect what we're talking about here, the Mavs outplayed us in the second half, right? I mean, the fourth quarter they outscored us 30-22. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot. And I think that's one of those things that I think that we have to do a better job of giving him a breather once in a while, right? I mean, he does not have to be on the court every minute of the game, and as of right now, he's been out there for the huge majority of minutes of every one of these games, all the playoff games, going into the playoffs, and even now. And I think that's something where the coach has to really step up and say, hey, great job. We're just going to throw somebody in there for a little while. Take 2 minutes on the bench. Just relax for a second. Get some air back. Get your legs back, and let's get you back in there. So maybe you reduce him down by 4 or 5 minutes of the game from where he is right now.
Yeah, and maybe I'm crazy, but I felt like I saw this early in the game, and it kept leading to it. And I didn't want to say anything because I wasn't sure, but it certainly looked like Anthony Edwards was passing up shots. You know, he'd bring it down, he'd make a couple of moves, he'd have a chance to take that three, but he'd dish it. And I'm like, why is he? And I've seen that a couple times in the playoffs, where, and I think a lot of the times the Timberwolves were starting cold and then they start to heat up, because what happened I noticed was Anthony Edwards would start taking some of these shots and they'd fall and then his confidence would keep going. But I felt like, I'm like, he is passing up shots again, and sure enough, it keeps happening, and he's nowhere to be seen in the first half points wise. He does end up playing 40 minutes and dropping 21 points, but that's not a whole lot for him.
No.
And it just wasn't the stat line, especially, you know, you got Rudy Gobert, who's out there for 37 minutes. But that's, you know, again, he's a kid. He's 22 years old. And I think it goes to show you that it just proves that he is where this team starts and finishes. And it's really going to be hard to win a game if you don't have Anthony Edwards leading the charge. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert and Naz, you need those guys to play well. But on any given night, I really truly believe if you're going to win a game, Anthony Edwards has to be your leading scorer, close to it. It was Naz Reid the other night with 23 points. I'm seeing a part that he doesn't have that eye of the tiger mentality. He's not, give me the ball, I'm going. He's, give me the ball and I'm going to try to find someone else. And some of that is because of the matchups. I get it. He's getting doubled, so he's got to move and move the ball. But there's too many times here where I'm going, why is he passing up that shot? Why isn't he taking that shot?
Yeah, and maybe it has to do with that he just has been so cold, though. You know, I mean, it could be something that simple. When you look at Cat and you look at Ant, and they're 3 of 12 from 3-point land, that's pretty awful, right?
Yeah.
And 9 of 33 from field goal. So the two of them were both struggling. And I think you've got to keep shooting and shoot through that. And I think normally we see that in basketball, but I think Anthony Edwards, to your point, though, they're coming up. They're trying to double him if they can. Smart move by them. Great job by the coach to do that. And they've got to get the ball outside of that. I think he still has to make those and take those shots. Make them is obviously up to how well he shoots it. But I think I agree with you, Dave. If he's out there, he needs to take those shots if it's there, if it's close enough, even if he's double-teamed, because that's how good he is.
Coming into the Styles Financial Talk and Text Line, They shouldn't have been in that situation at the end of the game, resorting and talking about that late no foul call. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have been at the situation at the end of that game. Anyway, I do believe they can win tonight. It's one game at a time now. Look, the Timberwolves have been great on the road. They're good on the road. They're probably I would venture to guess that tonight they will take this one. I do believe so. And I think it's going to be on the back of Anthony Edwards. I think he's going to have had enough of not controlling a game. And I think we're going to see peak Anthony Edwards tonight. The question to me is, if we see peak Ant tonight, does he have the energy to keep it going? If he puts it all out there tonight, maybe. Yeah. Well, we can only find out, you know, but it's got to be tonight. Cause if they fall in the hole 0-3, unfortunately, I think it's pretty much over, which I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to get negative. I want to be positive. I do believe that they can win tonight. And in a seven-game series, you know, you get one or two back in this. Certainly, if you even it up, it we've seen it makes a complete difference. It certainly did against Dallas. So,
and we have we have a little bit of depth, I think, that we sometimes don't pass. Well, yeah, when I look at McDaniels, and he puts up 24 in game one, that guy, there have been moments during the playoffs where he is outstanding. And I don't know if he gets enough credit for what his role has been and how well he's played. So it doesn't all have to go on Ant, but I think Ant does have to step up his game. And if he does, and I think he will, I think this is the game where we don't just win by three or four. I think we maybe even have a chance at blowing them out down there because of the frustration of where we are, even with that fatigue. So we'll see how this plays out. But I'm still very, very pleased with how these guys, you know, the effort that's there. They might be tired, but the effort is still there.
I think they have to blow them out tonight, honestly, because I think the way game two went, I really felt like at the end, it looked like they stole our heart. You know, it sounds dramatic, but to be up by as much as they were and then to come back and lose in the fashion that they did, I felt like Dallas really, you know, they stole something deep in our soul game.
They did, Dave. And how about this? Let's give a little bit of credit to Luka. This guy's one of the best players in the entire NBA. He does that crossover. He does everything he does to be able to get basically an open shot on Rudy, and he got it. And he drained it. So, you know, credit to him, too, for actually, I mean, you know what? When the game is on the line and you hit a shot like that, that's pretty impressive.
Yep. I mean, he's 6'7", 230, and the guy moves the way he does is incredible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he does not look – it's funny. I saw a post the other day. Someone said, you know, how did we go from this? And it was Larry Johnson and Patrick Ewing on the Knicks. These guys are big. They're bulky, they're jacked, you know, and then it's, you know, Luka, who doesn't look nearly as cut. But I'll tell you, like, Patrick Ewing didn't have that range. Patrick Ewing couldn't move like Luka.
So right?
It's just a totally, totally different deal. We will continue to talk Timberwolves throughout the show here, so please continue to give us a call or a text on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. We're going to switch gears here and talk a little hockey. The PWHL Minnesota team is one win away from a Walter Cup championship. We'll talk with their head coach, Ken Klee, coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO. Yes. Don't stop them now. PWHL Minnesota, one win away from a Walter Cup championship. Ken Klee, longtime NHLer, is the head coach of PWHL Minnesota, joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Ken, thanks for joining us. This is a treat for me. I remember watching you play for the Washington Capitals back in the 90s. I grew up a Ranger fan, so naturally we were against you, but still nice to have you on the show. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks. Yeah, I had my one and only penalty shot was in MSG against the Rangers. So.
Oh, God. Did you score?
Unfortunately, Mike Richter shut me down. So.
Oh, well.
He was pretty good, though.
One of the greatest of all time. Hey, let's talk about your squad this year. So much fun to watch. I want to start with the postseason because this team was facing elimination. And you bounce back, and now you're on a roll here. What happened? What switched? What changed to just put this team on the run that they're on now with a chance to win a championship tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to really put, I guess, my finger on it. I thought during that last little bit there where we dropped a few games that we ended up losing in the last you know, 2 seconds to go in a game. We lost a game with under a minute to go in a game. So we weren't playing as bad as our record showed, but we just weren't getting rewarded. So I think, you know, it's just really a testament to the ladies for, you know, sticking with it. We knew that once we could kind of break through and get that first win under our belt again, that hopefully we could catch fire, because, you know, we did have a really good regular season. It just, you know, after that long month off, we just didn't seem to get our feet back under us to be able to get back in the win column. So, but it's really just a testament to the players, you know, sticking with it. You know, it's tough. When you're losing, it gets harder. And, you know, just like when you're winning, you know, things are feeling good. And you obviously want to keep that going.
Ken, how about the XL Center? Has that been just unbelievable to you? I know all your history and everything with men's and women's sports and in hockey, but some of these record-breaking numbers, 13,000 people going to the X, I mean, this is phenomenal. Has it been really, really fun for you as a coach to be there underneath and hearing all of those fans?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're certainly lucky that we're, you know, one of the only teams that gets to have an NHL rink as our home arena. And then the support we've gotten here in Minnesota has just been absolutely awesome. We've had a lot of 10,000 nights. We had the opening night of 13. You know, when you get a crowd like that, and I know a lot of, you know, we have probably, I think, 8 or 9 Minnesota girls. So they've been to Wild games. They've seen the excitement in the building before. So I think it's just, you know, for them, it's just really a special thing. I remember saying after the first game, like, how many of you have played in front of 13,000 fans before? And, of course, none of them had their hands up. So I'm like, well, you have now, and you did well, and you flourished. So I'm certainly happy for that.
Ken Klee, head coach of the PWHL Minnesota franchise, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I will be there tonight. I'm super excited. My daughter and I are going to come to the game, hopefully watch you win a championship this evening. I'm sure our eyes will be on Taylor Heisey, as most people's are, because she is such a fantastic player. She has dealt with so much this season, just the pressure of being the number one overall pick, the injury. What have you seen from her that makes her such a great player? And then even in this postseason when the lights are brightest, you know, she's just come to play and been such a great player for you.
Yeah, well, I think it's really a testament to her. I mean, it was when you don't know, you don't know. So coming into this year, I think, you know, she knew she was a good player. She had played in some big Canada-U.S. games, but not very many. And then you go to the play in a pro league where every night the other team is just as good as you are. Yeah. And now you have to figure out a way to continue to get better. So, you know, for me, it's really just been that for her. Like you said, she's had her ups and downs during the year. She's had injuries. She's, you know, basically her season started in August for doing, you know, USA things. And then obviously they had the draft where she was number one. And, you know, it is a lot of pressure. She is still a kid. So, you know, as a first-year pro, I'm just so happy for her that it's, you know, things are finally, you know, fitting into place for her. She's playing her best hockey. She's having fun doing it, which is, you know, that makes it all, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. She's, you know, she's being successful and really enjoying doing it.
Ken, are you looking forward, once the season's over, after you guys win this whole thing, because I expect that you will, are you looking forward to going to Costa Rica?
Yeah, I've got it. I already have it booked. June 22nd, I'll be there. So, yeah. So, but no, it's been a whirlwind, right? It all happened super fast, but you know, it's certainly been a blessing. It's been an honor to be a part of it. You know, be a part of a new league that's been run, you know, obviously the Walter family and Stan Cassidy and Billie Jean King have done an awesome job of promoting as well as marketing and you know, just treating the players the right way. So it's certainly been an honor to be a part of it this year.
So hopefully PWHL Minnesota wins the championship tonight. What is the team going to be called next year, Ken? Because I know that there's it's super secret, but can you give us just an inkling about what way it might be going?
Yeah, I wish I had a clue, to be honest with you. So it'll be interesting. That's definitely above my pay grade. I know that. So I'm more worried about power plays and penalty kills than team names. So
that's probably a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yep,
Ken, good luck tonight. Thank you for giving us some time this morning, and bring home that Walter Cup, okay?
You bet. Great, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Head coach, PWHL Minnesota. Great to have him on. Looking forward to that. I believe it's a 5 o'clock start tonight at Xcel Energy Center. I will be there. I cannot wait to watch this team close up, because it should be fun. Take a quick break. Come back. We'll do the fast break. You're listening to 830 WCCO.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Josh.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just going to play some bumper music because I'm the producer.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm
going
to add some flavor to it. When
I love it.
For
the
wonderful Charlie, who is off today.
Playing golf.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and it's raining, so he doesn't complain about the rain when
that
he golfs.
That sounds so... Golf's miserable enough as it is. Playing in the rain... Oh, gosh. Sorry, go ahead. I digress.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's start out with some sausage grabbing, shall we? Time to...
Wait a minute.
Josh? No, it's not that kind of show. Calm down. The Twins have won 4 straight, looking for their 5th straight win today as they host the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. Given the lengthy streak they've had recently, embarked on and now beginning another one. While still being 6.5 games now behind the Guardians, is the AL Central still the, quote, weakest division in baseball? Dave, we'll start with you.
The heck if I know. it's just amazing to me listening that, you know, now they're 6.5 games back, and they were just, seems like it wasn't too long ago that they were 2.5 games back. I don't know. I don't think that it's the worst division in baseball. I mean, you know, you look at the AL West, the leaders only have 20, is one game above 500. So at least in the American League, they're not the worst. They're probably right behind that. So I would say no, they're not the Central is not the worst division in baseball. It's close, but it's not the worst division in baseball.
I 100% agree with you, Dave. I look at this thing and I'm like, well, wait a minute now. I'm not saying that the Twins are fantastic. They're playing better than 500, but, you know, that's something to be said for that. Kansas City actually is playing really well. Cleveland's playing really well. And it's just the Sox that really totally stink. Ooh, but you look at the AL West, it's like, all right, does anybody have a winning record? Only Seattle.
One game above,
So there's no way we're the worst division, but we're... But I actually think we've got a little bit of strength the way Kansas City's been playing, especially the way Cleveland's been playing. I mean, they've won, what, 9 of the last 10? They're a pretty daggone good team, actually.
The Twins need consistency, man. I mean, this 7-game wins, 4-game losses, whatever, 10 win, 3 loss, like, it's just got to go, and you got to get it going that way all the time. Good to have Buxton back. I really hope that they don't rush Royce Lewis back. I know the inclination is to get him in there right away as soon as he gets off this stint, but just hang on. It's only May. You're sitting there 6.5 games back. I mean, you know, you got some pad there. I would not rush him. That's just me.
All right. Let's switch things on over to the NFL. Have you guys heard of this guy named Aaron Rodgers before?
Who?
Exactly. After some rough stints in the coaching realm for Mr. Nathaniel Hackett, as he's now the OC for the New York Jets, that's offensive coordinator for those keeping score. And Aaron Rodgers recently spoke to the media, giving him praise, saying, "You should trust me, and we should all trust Nathaniel Hackett." I want to get your thoughts, Pete. You'll start out with this one. What's your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett taking the OC job with it's already kind of been a stagnant Jets start for this guy's legacy as quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers really, really likes him and was very defensive of him last year when the Denver coach was taking pot shots at him, right? I mean, I don't even want to get into all of that. That was ridiculous. They never should have done that. But all of that being said, I think if Aaron Rodgers says Nathaniel Hackett is the right guy, who am I to say he's wrong? I like Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, last year we were all so excited about it. We had all the TV and everything was going on, and all of a sudden we lose him for the season. It was unbelievable. So it's hard to really rank, like, where is he as a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator and everything. He's been a head coach. I think if Aaron Rodgers likes him, I think these guys have a shot. And if Aaron has bounced back as well as I'm hearing he has, this could be a really, really interesting team, I think, in the AFC this year.
Here's my only problem, and this is the question I want to follow up with. Why does Aaron Rodgers like Nathaniel Hackett so much? Is it because Nathaniel Hackett is finding things in his game that is improving him and that is stretching him and all this good stuff? Or is it because Nathaniel Hackett basically said, hey, man, do whatever you want. Just win games. You go. I don't care what you do. Because I feel like Aaron Rodgers wants to do things his way always, which probably is just a quarterback quality by and large, because you're just used to controlling things. My question is, and I don't have an answer, is why does he have so much faith in Nathaniel Hackett? Why does he love Nathaniel Hackett? Because that's where it is. Is he a doormat, or is he someone who's inspiring and pushing him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that one either, but I just think that, you know, at this age and the length of what he's got left as a starting quarterback in the NFL, if Aaron Rodgers has some sort of a great relationship with him, I think you got to go with that and let them do what they do. And Breece Hall, and there's a lot of talent on that Jets team, but those injuries started to stack up and they just fell apart. Now, I'd love to see them healthy to see exactly, okay, where are they really? Because there's a heck of a lot of talent on that football team.
Well said. Well said. And by the way, Dave, you should just text Aaron Rodgers and ask him so you can respond with, please lose my number, you know.
Just like we met at the darkness retreat.
Yes. Yes, you're very familiar with the darkness retreat.
I may have gotten the number off by one. He hasn't returned the text, but I couldn't see the numbers on my phone because it was dark.
Yeah. Sorry. Dave Schwartz, big darkness retreat guy.
Big darkness retreat guy.
All right, moving on to we're sticking with football for this one. The NCAA announced late Thursday night into Friday morning that it had reached a settlement to pay student athletes going forward. Each party that has agreed to this revenue sharing plan will be distributed roughly $20 million per year.
We're talking about this later, you know.
Yes, we're not going to dive too deep into it.
Fair enough.
But I do want to ask this question to you, Dave. Will this settlement help curtail some of the NIL situation that's kind of become a mess in football?
In a word, no. This is going to make everything worse. We've said this all the time, Pete. I mean, this idea that we have to pay these college athletes. There's no way to make this fair and equitable, and that's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. Because, again, and I've said this before, a football player on, let's just say Cal, Pete, because that's your team. A football player for Cal is going to make a heck of a lot more money being paid than a swimmer or a field hockey player. Mm-hmm. But the time that they put in and what they dedicate to their craft and the time, quote unquote, working is the same. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give people equal pay for equal jobs. That's a huge problem for me. And it's going to continue to be a problem. And now you're adding in even more money the university is going to pay you, which is a huge issue. So this is a mess, and all they did was make it messier. I cannot believe that we're sitting here right now on May 26th, 2024, and this is where we're at. Because I thought for sure at some point they'd go back and say, listen, we got to try to put Pandora back in the box a little bit. They didn't. They took another Pandora. They smashed the box, and then they vacuumed it up and threw it out. There's no going back.
Yeah, they've ruined the whole idea of amateur athletics, which, you know, everybody has their opinion on this whole matter, obviously, you know, depending on your age and everything else. But I think that the reality is we have already proven that NIL, and I got a little something as a tease for later when we talk about this a little bit more in depth, but I've got a couple of stories for you about the NIL that I've been wondering, when is this going to happen? And it's happening now, guys. And it's not good. It's going to be a much bigger problem than anyone knows. And it's something we're going to kick around a little bit later on. So you better keep listening.
651-461-9226 if you want to get in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line when we talk about this coming up at 11 o'clock.
Perfect. There you go.
Oh, is that the last one?
That is the last one. We're kind of tight on time.
Very well, sir. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a quick break, come back. Why they should stop letting every professional athlete on television? We'll talk about that next. Dun-a-dun-a-dun-a-dun-a-dun. Oh, I love that! I hope you're going to play that one. That's
great. That is great.
So, We're going back to the Timberwolves just to put a wrap on this, at least for the first hour. If you didn't catch it on Friday night, Draymond Green, he's a real favorite in Minnesota, joined the guys from TNT on the set. And there was a moment that a lot of people are pointing to that's just kind of fighting words. So take a listen. The Timberwolves fans are yelling at Draymond Green. Obviously, there's some history there. And he says, Rudy sucks, not me. Okay? There's a lot of problems with that. I have a lot of problems with this. Number one, Rudy doesn't suck. He's still playing. You're on the set. So that's number one. Number two, Can we please stop putting guys on television who shouldn't be on television? Pete, you know this because you were a former athlete who went to television, and I was on television. So this is not – television is not easy. Being a color commentator or play-by-play is not easy. Doing a live broadcast with people all around you is not easy. It takes practice. It takes skill. You have to be able to block that out and focus on your job, say coherent things, and continue to stay on point. Draymond Green was not ready. He is not prepared. He should not be on TV. He could not handle people chirping him. And then he says something, a fraudulent statement, that Rudy sucks. He does not. This drives me crazy. They do this all the time, and it's because TV's got to have the, you know, the latest and greatest and all that stuff. He shouldn't be there. Don't put him on television if he's not ready.
They do it all the time, right, Dave? I mean, they really do, whether it's football or to pick your sport. There's going to be somebody there that's the new way that TV wants to perform, right? They want to do it by doing the guys that are still playing right now on rosters at places, and kind of like a test market almost. And I think that you're 100% right. It's about preparation. You've got to be prepared. You better know everything about just about everything so you're in front of the camera and you have that opportunity. But yeah, I agree with you. Some of these guys, I think they say things even if they don't believe it. They say it just to be controversial, just so that everybody, you know, it's very polarizing. And is there anybody more polarizing than Draymond Green? I don't think so. I mean, that's who he is.
And you know the producers told him, just be you. You know, just be who you are. That's what we need. But, you know, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaquille O'Neal, and Ernie Johnson, for that matter. I've watched a lot more, obviously, we all have, of TNT. Those guys are fantastic. They really, really are. Because Shaq and Kenny and Charles and Ernie, they have a chemistry, but it's a chemistry that's worked over time, and there is time there. The Western Conference Finals is not the time to test market your broadcast talent. You do that in a game in, you know, like an afternoon game in February. That's when you do it, you know? This isn't the same thing when people got upset that Greg Olsen was in the booth for a Vikings game. P.S., Greg Olsen was really good, and he was prepared and ready. Draymond Green wasn't. You cannot just throw him in there. It's a disservice to him. He wasn't ready for this stage, I don't think. I don't think he added anything to the broadcast at all. For my money, Charles Barkley, not only is he hilarious, but in terms of analyzing the game, I don't know that there's anybody better. He was great.
Yeah, those guys on TNT do an absolutely amazing job, and they have the street cred, right? I mean, and when I say that, I mean, let's be honest, Shaquille O'Neal is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest of all time. Charles Barkley, for the role that he played all his years in the NBA, absolutely amazing. I mean, that entire set is filled with people that have the right to be able to say things that Draymond doesn't deserve to say yet. and maybe never has it. So I think that's part of it too. But you've got to do the work. You've got to be prepared. And I think that that's something that you're showing your example of. He did not prepare. He just went in there and figured, you know what, I play, so I know it. That's not really how
it's
it
not
works.
The same thing.
You got to research a lot more than that.
Josh, you have your hand raised.
Yes, I do, via text. I just want to point this out that Charles Barkley did double down on what Draymond said, and that's one part I did not play, is he did turn around to the crowd and said, you know, see you next season, which I wasn't really a fan of that either. Kind of a bad taste in my mouth as well, just because don't say that to our fans.
Like, just ignore it and block it out, because that's what you do. Listen, when I did television, I had people right off my face while I was doing live shots and, you know, yelling and all that stuff. Like, that's the kind of thing. And Pete, you've had it, I'm sure. You just have to block it out, and that's why you work on it.
Yep.
That's why you work on it.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, the NCAA. We talked a little bit about it. Big decision this week. Paying players. Where do we all sit on it? Where do you sit on it? That is coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO. Well, how much faith do you have left in the Timberwolves? Down 0-2, and they're down in Dallas today. I think we have some differing opinions on this, gentlemen. By the way, good morning. The Timberwolves lost game 2 Friday night, and what was, frankly, I mean, a gut punch. There's no doubt about it. And we can break this down from all angles, not the least of which is they had a huge lead at one point. Cat and Anthony Edwards were ice cold for the most part in that game. But it all comes down to what I think was, and Chris Finch, I had said the entire time, I thought was a really good candidate. It was a finalist for Coach of the Year. But this has been analyzed ad nauseum, and I know this, and I'm more than happy to take your calls on the stylesfinancial.com talk at text line 651-461-9226. Have you given up hope on the Timberwolves? I don't like how I feel, but I don't. And part of this is because of what Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are doing. But why in the world, on the final shot with Luka Doncic, do you put Rudy Gobert back in, single cover this guy, and he drains the three to win the game? This is not on Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, yeah, four-time defensive player of the year. Where's his spot? Everybody knows it's in the paint. That's where he shines. He is not supposed to guard a guy at the top of the, you know, at the top of the three-point line. It's setting him up to fail, and I think Chris Finch did that. I'm sure he owns it, and it was not the right decision. If you want to have him out there, that's fine. But in covering one-on-one, bring a guy over and double Luka and dare someone else to beat you. Please, don't let Luka have that. It's a terrible ending to a game that, I mean, at halftime, I'm like, this is over. It's done. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, I totally agree with you, because when you think about it, that's not what Rudy is good at, right? I mean, that's not his forte. His forte is somewhere within the paint, somewhere underneath the bucket, and that's where he survives and does a phenomenal job. He doesn't just survive. He's the best in the league, but he's not the guy who should be out there at the three-point line, and we knew who was going to take the shot. So
yes,
if you're not going to double him, which they should have, but if you're not going to double him, I don't think it's fair to put Rudy on him. I mean, he's not that type of a defender. I mean, yeah, his abilities are actually much better if he's somewhere within the field goal area, not the three-point area. And that, but the reality really was Ant and Cat, I can't believe we were even in this game. I mean, when those two guys, the way they were shooting, it was really scary. And the one guy who stepped up, Who stepped up the very
your
most
guy
in that game? Nas Reed, right?
Nas Reed, I mean, couldn't miss a three.
The guy
until
was
until the end.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, well, but you know, the guy was what, 7 of 9 for three pointers. He has 23 points. This is the sixth man award guy. I mean, he really has upped his game. But unfortunately, you know, we've lost two games by a grand total of 4 points. So it gives us, I think, at least some sort of hope. So I have a lot more hope than you do, and maybe that's foolish of me to be as hopeful as I am, but I just can't imagine that Ant and Cat can play that bad in a third game. I can't imagine it.
And this idea, the other thing I'd like to address is this idea that the referees, you know, can I say screwed on the radio? I hope I can. Screwed them out of the game, right? The call at the end where, and I believe it was Kyrie Irving, who clearly fouls, and they say they can't review it, and then after the game they say, yep, it was actually a foul. Now, they didn't do anything on that possession, so I don't know that that changes things. But here's what it comes down to. The Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, it's their biggest stars. These are their stars. These are the guys, the horses they have got to ride to get a victory. Luka and Kyrie Irving are that for the Mavericks. Luka and Kyrie have outscored Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards 115-71 in the first two games. Karl-Anthony Towns was basically benched the other night. And part of it was because he got into early foul trouble. Part of it is because it's fine because you got Naz Reid. And maybe if Naz isn't as hot as he is in that game, Karl-Anthony Towns comes back in. But Naz Reid is not the reason that the game was lost. Naz Reid was probably the reason that they were in it at all.
Yeah.
But what bothers me, and I really truly am starting to think this, and for all the people that said it, it's Charles Barkley who said this in the postgame on TNT. He said, he pointed out, he said, Anthony Edwards looks exhausted. And you know, I was watching some of the video that they showed, and you know what? I actually tend to agree with him. And I hate to say that, but Anthony Edwards, who has been sensational the entire year, who has always been against load management, and we love that about him. Mm-hmm. But he's a kid, and I agree, Pete, he looks tired out there right now.
He does, and I think sometimes that has to do with, okay, there are times where maybe we could take him off, right? I'm not saying that, you know, you and I agree on the whole load management thing. We don't like it. There's nothing about it that we like. That doesn't mean that he has to play every minute of the game. And when you look at the minutes that these guys put in, it really is pretty amazing. And I think to reflect what we're talking about here, the Mavs outplayed us in the second half, right? I mean, the fourth quarter they outscored us 30-22. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot. And I think that's one of those things that I think that we have to do a better job of giving him a breather once in a while, right? I mean, he does not have to be on the court every minute of the game, and as of right now, he's been out there for the huge majority of minutes of every one of these games, all the playoff games, going into the playoffs, and even now. And I think that's something where the coach has to really step up and say, hey, great job. We're just going to throw somebody in there for a little while. Take 2 minutes on the bench. Just relax for a second. Get some air back. Get your legs back, and let's get you back in there. So maybe you reduce him down by 4 or 5 minutes of the game from where he is right now.
Yeah, and maybe I'm crazy, but I felt like I saw this early in the game, and it kept leading to it, and I didn't want to say anything because I wasn't sure, but it certainly looked like Anthony Edwards was passing up shots. You know, he'd bring it down, he'd make a couple of moves, he'd have a chance to take that three, but he'd dish it, and I'm like, why is he? And I've seen that a couple times in the playoffs, where, and I think a lot of the times the Timberwolves were starting cold and then they start to heat up, because what happened I noticed was Anthony Edwards would start taking some of these shots and they'd fall and then his confidence would keep going. But I felt like, I'm like, he is passing up shots again, and sure enough it keeps happening, and he's nowhere to be seen in the first half points wise. He does end up playing 40 minutes and dropping 21 points, but that's not a whole lot for him. No. And it just wasn't the stat line, especially, you know, you got Rudy Gobert, who's out there for 37 minutes. But that's, you know, again, he's a kid. He's 22 years old. And I think it goes to show you that it just proves that he is where this team starts and finishes. And you can, it's really going to be hard to win a game if you don't have Anthony Edwards leading the charge. Yes, Karl-Anthony Towns and Gobert and Nas, you need those guys to play well. But on any given night, I really truly believe if you're going to win a game, Anthony Edwards has to be your leading scorer, close to it. It was Nas Reed the other night with 23 points. But, you know, he just – I'm seeing a part – he doesn't have that eye of the tiger mentality. He's not, give me the ball, I'm going. He's, give me the ball, and I'm going to try to find someone else. And some of that is because of the matchups. I get it. He's getting doubled, so he's got to move to move the ball. But there's too many times here where I'm going, why is he passing up that shot? Why isn't he taking that shot?
Yeah, and maybe it has to do with that he just has been so cold, though. You know, I mean, it could be something that simple. When you look at Cat and you look at Ant, and they're 3 of 12 from 3-point land, that's pretty awful, right?
Yeah.
And 9 of 33 from field goal. So the two of them were both struggling. And I think you've got to keep shooting and shoot through that. And I think normally we see that in basketball, but I think Anthony Edwards, to your point, though, they're coming up. They're trying to double him if they can. Smart move by them. Great job by the coach to do that. And they've got to get the ball outside of that. I think he still has to make those and take those shots. Make them is obviously up to how well he shoots it. But I think I agree with you, Dave. If he's out there, he needs to take those shots if it's there, if it's close enough, even if he's double-teamed, because that's how good he is.
Coming into the Styles Financial Talk and Text Line, they shouldn't have been in that situation at the end of the game, resorting and talking about that late no foul call. They shouldn't have been in the situation at the end of that game. Anyway, I do believe they can win tonight. It's one game at a time now. Look, the Timberwolves have been great on the road. They're good on the road. They're probably, I would venture to guess that tonight they will take this one. I do believe so. And I think it's going to be on the back of Anthony Edwards. I think he's going to have had enough of not controlling a game. And I think we're going to see peak Anthony Edwards tonight. The question to me is, if we see peak Ant tonight, does he have the energy to keep it going? If he puts it all out there tonight, maybe. Yeah, well, we can only find out, you know, but it's got to be tonight, because if they fall in the hole 0-3, unfortunately, I think it's pretty much over, which I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to get negative. I want to be positive. I do believe that they can win tonight. And in a seven-game series, you know, you get one or two back, and certainly if you even it up, it we've seen it makes a complete difference.
Yep.
It certainly did against Dallas. So,
and we have we have a little bit of depth, I think, that we sometimes don't pass. Well, yeah, when I look at McDaniels, and he puts up 24 in game one, that guy, there have been moments during the playoffs where he is outstanding. And I don't know if he gets enough credit for what his role has been and how well he's played. So it doesn't all have to go on Ant, but I think Ant does have to step up his game. And if he does, and I think he will, I think this is the game where we don't just win by three or four. I think we maybe even have a chance at blowing them out down there because of the frustration of where we are, even with that fatigue. So we'll see how this plays out. But I'm still very, very pleased with how these guys, you know, the effort that's there. They might be tired, but the effort is still there.
I think they have to blow them out tonight, honestly, because I think the way game two went, I really felt like at the end, it looked like they stole our heart. You know, it sounds dramatic, but to be up by as much as they were and then to come back and lose in the fashion that they did, I felt like Dallas really, you know, they stole something deep in our soul game.
They did, Dave. And how about this? Let's give a little bit of credit to Luka. This guy's one of the best players in the entire NBA. He does that crossover. He does everything he does to be able to get basically an open shot on Rudy, and he got it. And he drained it. So, you know, credit to him, too, for actually, I mean, you know what? When the game is on the line and you hit a shot like that, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, he's 6'7", 230, and the guy moves the way he does is incredible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he does not look – it's funny. I saw a post the other day. Someone said, you know, how did we go from this? And it was Larry Johnson and Patrick Ewing on the Knicks. These guys are big. They're bulky, they're jacked, you know. And then it's, you know, Luka, who doesn't look nearly as cut. But I'll tell you, like, Patrick Ewing didn't have that range. Patrick Ewing couldn't move like Luka.
So right?
It's just a totally, totally different deal. We will continue to talk Timberwolves throughout the show here, so please continue to give us a call or a text on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. We're going to switch gears here and talk a little hockey. The PWHL Minnesota team is one win away from a Walter Cup championship. We'll talk with their head coach, Ken Klee, coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO. Yes. Don't stop them now. PWHL Minnesota, one win away from a Walter Cup championship. Ken Klee, longtime NHLer, is the head coach of PWHL Minnesota, joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Ken, thanks for joining us. This is a treat for me. I remember watching you play for the Washington Capitals back in the 90s. I grew up a Ranger fan, so naturally we were against you, but still nice to have you on the show. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks. Yeah, I had my one and only penalty shot was in MSG against the Rangers. So.
Oh, God. Did you score?
Unfortunately, Mike Richter shut me down. So.
Oh, well.
He was pretty good, though.
One of the greatest of all time. Hey, yeah, let's talk about your squad this year. So much fun to watch. I want to start with the postseason, because this team was facing elimination, and you bounce back, and now you're on a roll here. What happened? What switched? What changed to just put this team on the run that they're on now with a chance to win a championship tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to really put, my finger on it. I thought during that last little bit there where we dropped a few games that we ended up losing in the last, you know, 2 seconds to go in a game. We lost a game with under a minute to go in a game. So we weren't playing as bad as our record showed, but we just weren't getting rewarded. So I think, you know, it's just really a testament to the ladies for, you know, sticking with it. We knew that once we could kind of break through and get that first win under our belt again, that hopefully we could catch fire, because, you know, we did have a really good regular season. It just you know, after that long month off, we just didn't seem to get our feet back under us to be able to get back in the win column. So, but it's really just a testament to the players, you know, sticking with it. You know, it's tough. When you're losing, it gets harder. And, you know, just like when you're winning, you know, things are feeling good, and you obviously want to keep that going.
Ken, how about the XL Center? Has that been just unbelievable to you? I know all your history and everything with men's and women's sports and hockey, but some of these record-breaking numbers, 13,000 people going to the X, I mean, this is phenomenal. Has it been really, really fun for you as a coach to be there underneath and hearing all of those fans?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're certainly lucky that we're, you know, one of the only teams that gets to have an NHL rink as our home arena. And then the support we've gotten here in Minnesota has just been absolutely awesome. We've had a lot of 10,000 nights. We had the opening night of 13. You know, when you get a crowd like that, and I know a lot of, you know, we have probably, I think, 8 or 9 Minnesota girls, so they've been to Wild games. They've seen the excitement in the building before. So I think it's just, you know, for them, it's just really a special thing. I remember saying after the first game, like, how many of you have played in front of 13,000 fans before? And, of course, none of them had their hands up. So I'm like, well, you have now, and you did well, and you flourished. So I'm really happy for that.
Ken Klee, head coach of the PWHL Minnesota franchise, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I will be there tonight. I'm super excited. My daughter and I are going to come to the game, hopefully watch you win a championship this evening. I'm sure our eyes will be on Taylor Heise, as most people's are, because she is such a fantastic player. She has dealt with so much this season, just the pressure of being the number one overall pick, the injury. What have you seen from her that makes her such a great player? And then even in this postseason when the lights are brightest, you know, she's just come to play and been such a great player for you.
Yeah, well, I think it's really a testament to her. I mean, it was when you don't know, you don't know. So coming into this year, I think, you know, she knew she was a good player. She had played in some big Canada-U.S. games, but not very many. And then you go to the play in a pro league where every night, the other team is just as good as you are, and now you have to figure out a way to continue to get better. So, you know, for me, it's really just been that for her. Like you said, she's had her ups and downs during the year. She's had injuries. She's, you know, basically her season started in August for doing, you know, USA things, and then obviously they had the draft where she was number one, and, you know, it is a lot of pressure. She is still a kid. So, you know, as a first-year pro, I'm just so happy for her that it's, you know, things are finally, you know, fitting into place for her. She's playing her best hockey. She's having fun doing it, which is, you know, that makes it all, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. She's, you know, she's being successful and really enjoying doing it.
Ken, are you looking forward, once the season's over, after you guys win this whole thing, because I expect that you will, are you looking forward to going to Costa Rica?
Yes, actually, I got it. I already have it booked. June 22nd, I'll be there. So, yeah. So, but no, it's been a whirlwind, right? It all happened super fast, but you know, it's certainly been a blessing. It's been an honor to be a part of it, you know, be a part of a new league that's been run, you know, obviously the Walter family and Stan Cassidy and Billie Jean King have done an awesome job of promoting as well as marketing and, you know, just treating the players the right way. So it's certainly been an honor to be a part of it this year.
So hopefully PWHL Minnesota wins the championship tonight. What is the team going to be called next year, Ken? Because I know that it's super secret, but can you give us just an inkling about what way it might be going?
Yeah, I wish I had a clue, to be honest with you. it'll be interesting. That's definitely above my pay grade. I know that. So I'm more worried about power plays and penalty kills than team names. So
that's probably a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yep,
Ken, good luck tonight. Thank you for giving us some time this morning, and bring home that Walter Cup, okay?
You bet. Great, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Head coach, PWHL Minnesota. Great to have him on. Looking forward to that. I believe it's a 5 o'clock start tonight at XL Energy Center. I will be there. I cannot wait to watch this team close up, because it should be fun. Take a quick break. Come back. We'll do the fast break. You're listening to 830 WCCO.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Josh.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just going to play some bumper music because I'm the producer.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm
going to add some flavor to it.
I love it.
For the wonderful Charlie, who is off today.
Playing golf.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and it's raining, so he doesn't complain about the rain when
it's golf. That sounds so... Golf's miserable enough as it is. Playing in the rain? Oh, gosh. Sorry, go ahead. I digress.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's start out with some sausage grabbing, shall we? It's time to...
Wait a minute.
Josh? No, not that kind of show. Calm down. The Twins have won four straight, looking for their fifth straight win today as they host the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. Given the lengthy streak they've had recently, embarked on and now beginning another one. While still being 6.5 games now behind the Guardians, is the AL Central still the, quote, weakest division in baseball? Dave, we'll start with you.
The heck if I know. it's just amazing to me listening that, you know, now they're 6.5 games back, and they were just, seems like it wasn't too long ago that they were 2.5 games back. I don't know. I don't think they're it's the worst division in baseball. I mean, you know, you look at the AL West, the leaders only have 20, is one game above 500. So at least in the American League, they're not the worst. They're probably right behind that. So I would say no, they're not the Central is not the worst division in baseball. It's close, but it's not the worst division in baseball.
I 100% agree with you, Dave. I look at this thing and I'm like, well, wait a minute now. I'm not saying that the Twins are fantastic. They're playing better than 500, but, you know, that's something to be said for that. Kansas City actually is playing really well. Cleveland's playing really well. And it's just the Sox that really totally stink. Ooh, but you look at the AL West, it's like, all right, does anybody have a winning record? Only Seattle.
One game above, yeah.
So there's no way we're the worst division, but we're but I actually think we've got a little bit of strength the way Kansas City's been playing, especially the way Cleveland's been playing. I mean, they've won, what, 9 of the last 10? They're a pretty daggone good team, actually.
The Twins need consistency, man. I mean, yes. This 7-game wins, 4-game losses, whatever, 10 win, 3 loss, like, it's just got to go, and you got to get it going that way all the time. Good to have Buxton back. I really hope that they don't rush Royce Lewis back. I know the inclination is to get him in there right away as soon as he gets off this stint, but just hang on. It's only May. You're sitting there 6.5 games back. I mean, you know, you got some pad there. I would not rush him. That's just me.
All right. Let's switch things on over to the NFL. Have you guys heard of this guy named Aaron Rodgers before?
Who?
Exactly. After some rough stints in the coaching realm for Mr. Nathaniel Hackett, as he's now the OC for the New York Jets. That's offensive coordinator for those keeping score. And Aaron Rodgers recently spoke to the media, giving him praise, saying, you should trust me, and we should all trust Nathaniel Hackett. I want to get your thoughts, Pete. You'll start out with this one. What's your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett taking the OC job with it's already kind of been a stagnant Jets start for this guy's legacy as quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers really, really likes him and was very defensive of him last year when the Denver coach was taking pot shots at him, right? I mean, I don't even want to get into all of that. That was ridiculous. They never should have done that. But all of that being said, I think if Aaron Rodgers says Nathaniel Hackett is the right guy, who am I to say he's wrong? I like Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, last year we were all so excited about it. We had all the TV and everything was going on, and all of a sudden we lose him for the season. It was unbelievable. So it's hard to really rank, like, where is he as a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator and everything. He's been a head coach. I think if Aaron Rodgers likes him, I think these guys have a shot. And if Aaron has bounced back as well as I'm hearing he has, this could be a really, really interesting team, I think, in the AFC this year.
Here's my only problem, and this is the question I want to follow up with. Why does Aaron Rodgers like Nathaniel Hackett so much? Is it because Nathaniel Hackett is finding things in his game that is improving him and that is stretching him and all this good stuff? Or is it because Nathaniel Hackett basically said, hey, man, do whatever you want. Just win games. You go. I don't care what you do. Because I feel like Aaron Rodgers wants to do things his way always, which probably is just a quarterback quality by and large, because you're just used to controlling things. My question is, and I don't have an answer, is why does he have so much faith in Nathaniel Hackett? Why does he love Nathaniel Hackett? Because that's where it is. Is he a doormat, or is he someone who's inspiring and pushing him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that one either, but I just think that, you know, at this age and the length of what he's got left as a starting quarterback in the NFL, if Aaron Rodgers has some sort of a great relationship with him, I think you got to kill, you got to go with that and let them do what they do. And Breece Hall, and there's a lot of talent on that Jets team, but those injuries started to stack up and they just fell apart. Now I'd love to see them healthy to see exactly, okay, where are they really? Because there's a heck of a lot of talent on that football team.
Well said. Well said. And by the way, Dave, you should just text Aaron Rodgers and ask him so you can respond with, please lose my number, you know.
We met at the darkness retreat.
Yes. Yes, you're very familiar with the darkness retreat.
Have gotten the number off by one. He hasn't returned the text, but I couldn't see the numbers on my phone because it was dark.
Yeah. Sorry. Dave Schwartz, big darkness retreat guy.
Big darkness retreat guy.
All right, moving on to we're sticking with football for this one. The NCAA announced late Thursday night into Friday morning that it had reached a settlement to pay student athletes going forward. Each party that has agreed to this revenue-sharing plan will be distributed roughly $20 million per year.
We're talking about this later, you know.
Yes, we're not going to dive too deep into it.
Fair enough.
But I do want to ask this question to you, Dave. Will this settlement help curtail some of the NIL situation that's kind of become a mess in football?
In a word, no. This is going to make everything worse. We've said this all the time, Pete. I mean, this idea that we have to pay these college athletes. There's no way to make this fair and equitable, and that's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. Because, again, and I've said this before, a football player on, let's just say, Cal, Pete, because that's your team. A football player for Cal is going to make a heck of a lot more money being paid than a swimmer or a field hockey player. Mm-hmm. But the time that they put in and what they dedicate to their craft and the time, quote unquote, working is the same. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give people equal pay for equal jobs. That's a huge problem for me. And it's going to continue to be a problem. And now you're adding in even more money the university is going to pay you, which is a huge issue. So this is a mess, and all they did was make it messier. I cannot believe that we're sitting here right now on May 26th, 2024, and this is where we're at. Because I thought for sure at some point they'd go back and say, listen, we got to try to put Pandora back in the box a little bit. They didn't. They took Pandora. They took another Pandora. They smashed the box, and then they vacuumed it up and threw it out. There's no going back.
Yeah, they've ruined the whole idea of amateur athletics, which, you know, everybody has their opinion on this whole matter, obviously, you know, depending on your age and everything else. But I think that the reality is we have already proven that NIL, and I got a little something. This is a tease for later when we talk about this a little bit more in depth, but I've got a couple of stories for you about the NIL that I've been wondering, when is this going to happen? And it's happening now, guys. And it's not good. It's going to be a much bigger problem than anyone knows. And it's something we're going to kick around a little bit later on. So you better keep listening.
651-461-9226 if you want to get in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line when we talk about this coming up at 11 o'clock.
Perfect. There you go.
Oh, is that the last one?
That is the last one. We're kind of tight on time.
Very well, sir. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a quick break, come back. Why they should stop letting every professional athlete on television? We'll talk about that next. Oh, I love that! I hope you're going to play that one. That's great.
That is great.
So, We're going back to the Timberwolves, just to put a wrap on this, at least for the first hour. If you didn't catch it on Friday night, Draymond Green, he's a real favorite in Minnesota, joined the guys from TNT on the set. And there was a moment that a lot of people are pointing to that's just kind of fighting words. So take a listen. The Timberwolves fans are yelling at Draymond Green. Obviously, there's some history there. And he says, Rudy sucks, not me. Okay, there's a lot of problems with that. I have a lot of problems with this. Number one, Rudy doesn't suck. He's still playing. You're on the set. So that's number one. Number two, can we please stop putting guys on television who shouldn't be on television? Pete, you know this because you were a former athlete who went to television, and I was on television. So this is not Television is not easy. Being a color commentary commentator or play-by-play is not easy. Doing a live broadcast with people all around you is not easy. It takes practice. It takes skill. You have to be able to block that out and focus on your job, say coherent things, and continue to stay on point. Draymond Green was not ready. He is not prepared. He should not be on TV. He could not handle people chirping him. And then he says something, a fraudulent statement, that Rudy sucks. He does not. This drives me crazy. They do this all the time, and it's because TV's got to have the, you know, the latest and greatest and all that stuff. He shouldn't be there. Don't put him on television if he's not ready.
They do it all the time, right, Dave? I mean, they really do, whether it's football or to pick your sport. There's going to be somebody there that's the new way that TV wants to perform, right? They want to do it by doing the guys that are still playing right now on rosters at places, and kind of like a test market almost. And I think that you're 100% right. It's about preparation. You've got to be prepared. You better know everything about just about everything so you're in front of the camera and you have that opportunity. But yeah, I agree with you. Some of these guys, I think they say things even if they don't believe it. They say it just to be controversial, just so that everybody, you know, it's very polarizing. And is there anybody more polarizing than Draymond Green? I don't think so. I mean, that's who he is.
And you know the producers told him, just be you. You know, just be who you are. That's what we need. But, you know, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaquille O'Neal, and Ernie Johnson, for that matter, I've watched a lot more. Obviously, we all have of TNT. Those guys are fantastic. They really, really are. Because Shaq and Kenny and Charles and Ernie, they have a chemistry. But it's a chemistry that's worked over time. And there is time there. The Western Conference Finals is not the time to test market your broadcast talent. You do that in a game in, you know, like an afternoon game in February. That's when you do it. You know, this isn't the same thing when people got upset that Greg Olsen was in the booth for a Vikings game. P.S., Greg Olsen was really good, and he was prepared and ready. Draymond Green wasn't. You cannot just throw him in there. It's a disservice to him. He wasn't ready for this stage, I don't think. I don't think he added anything to the broadcast at all. For my money, Charles Barkley, not only is he hilarious, but in terms of analyzing the game, I don't know that there's anybody better. He was great.
Yeah, those guys on TNT do an absolutely amazing job, and they have the street cred, right? I mean, and when I say that, I mean, let's be honest, Shaquille O'Neal is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest of all time. Charles Barkley, for the role that he played all his years in the NBA, absolutely amazing. I mean, that entire set is filled with people that have the right to be able to say things that Draymond doesn't deserve to say yet. and maybe never has it. So I think that's part of it too. But you've got to do the work. You've got to be prepared. And I think that that's something that you're showing or your example of. He did not prepare. He just went in there and figured, you know what, I play, so I know it. That's not really how
it's
it works.
It's not the same thing.
You got to research a lot more than that.
Josh, you have your hand raised.
Yes, I do, via text. So I just want to point this out that Charles Barkley did double down on what Draymond said, and that's one part I did not play, is he did turn around to the crowd and said, you know, see you next season, which I wasn't really a fan of that either. I kind of put a bad taste in my mouth as well, just because don't say that to our fans.
Like, just ignore it and block it out, because that's what you do. Listen, when I did television, I had people right off my face while I was doing live shots and, you know, yelling and all that stuff. Like, that's the kind of thing. And Pete, you've had it, I'm sure. You just have to block it out, and that's why you work on it.
Yep.
That's why you work on it.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, the NCAA. We talked a little bit about it. Big decision this week. Paying players. Where do we all sit on it? Where do you sit on it? That is coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO.